Turn on the recording here, and we'll get going. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18. "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Given there are those who twist the difficult scriptures that we read about, and given the fact that there are those who are seeking to say things from the scriptures and teach things from the scriptures that are contrary to fundamental truth, contrary to the main truth of God, truths of God's word, Peter says that we need a warning. We need to be warned, and we'll look at a warning here. And we also need a certain kind of a mission, certain kind of a work. And so we're going to look at a warning and a work in these two verses today. Verse 17 gives us a warning. Verse 18 gives us a work, both of which are a good practical summary, a practical to-do list at the end of this, at the end of these letters that are very important for us as God's people. We looked at 1 Peter, and we're dealing with the subject of a Christian people who were suffering, going through all kinds of suffering, and the Lord's grace and how he can sustain us in suffering. And then in 2 Peter, we've been looking at the fact that sometimes part of the difficulties that we have as believers revolve around false teachers, false claims, and revolve around a mixed message, or a message that might say, can we really believe the truth of God's word? And the skeptics are the scoffers, and scoffing about the word of God. Is it really reliable? Can we believe it? And Peter reminds us, as we looked at in the last couple of lessons, the last couple of messages, is that he reminds us, hey, you know what? The Word of God is the Word of God. And what I've written to you is part of the Holy Scriptures. And what Paul has written to you also is Holy Scripture. And the Scriptures are given by the inspiration of God, as Paul told Timothy. It's given by God's inspiration. So we can trust God's Word, but we need to be sure that we're grounded in God's word. He talks about a kind of a stability in 2 Peter that we should have. He talks about a kind of stability and reminds us of that need for some stability when we look at this passage today in verses 17 and 18. And that stability has a negative aspect and a positive aspect. That stability is maintained as we are guarding against certain things, and then that stability is maintained as we are growing in the truth. And so we see those two different things that we look at today, and the warning should not in any way preclude the need for the work. In other words, sometimes we can look at the warning and say, well, he's warning us not to be deceived and tossed around with those who would falsely make false claims about the truth of God. We need to be stable on that and understand and have a clear understanding of that. But you know what? That's not enough. It's not just enough to just guard against. It's also important to grow, to become stronger, and we have to have the nutrients that are necessary for strength. A tree, to be strong, sometimes needs a guard against the things that can infect the tree, but also that tree needs the nutrients to grow. It needs the proper nutrients. Either thing can destroy the life of that tree. And so it is with the believer, that either thing can destroy our life in the sense of our spiritual well-being, our stability that we need, our steadfastness, as this verse number 17 mentions. The steadfastness that we need is going to be maintained not only by a guard against the falsehood, but also by a grounding in the good and the nutrients that we need from the Word of God. So, two things today. Those are the two points of this message. The first point of the message, the warning, is in verse number 17, beware. And then the work in verse number 18, but grow. So, start out with the verse number 17. Again, reading it, it says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, so beware. So here's what he's saying, beware. This is the main action that he's given us here as God's people in verse number 17, beware. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. So a warning here. Saints, he says, beloved, ye therefore, we've seen that a few times here in 2 Peter, that over and over again he reminds us he's speaking to believers. He's not speaking to unbelievers trying to convince them to know the Lord. He's rather speaking to believers here in a very specific sense to keep them steadfast so that they're not tossed around, so that they're not misled and they're not misguided and they get off on something that ends up causing them all kinds of turmoil and difficulties in their life that are not necessary as we trust the Lord, that are not necessary as we're stable or as we're steadfast. So the saints, he says, beloved, ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before. Now, seeing that you have, the word here to know these things before is one Greek word, and it is foreknowledge. Seeing that you have a certain foreknowledge of things, seeing that you can perceive into the future, you know what's going on, you kind of already know what the truth is, and you know what's going to happen. Seeing that you already know these things, as he's already talked about the wisdom concerning the coming of the Lord and the way the world is going to end and how the Lord's going to deliver us, and yet the ungodly will be punished. Well, the Word of God is saying here, hey, since you know these things before, these fundamental truths, knowing before, we've got some knowing before that's already taken place in our lives. If you're a believer, you have some knowing before. You already have some foundational truth that you have as a child of God. And we'll look at that in a moment. But know these things before. You've got some things that you already know. Seeing that you know these things before. Then he says, beware lest ye, notice the phrase here, lest ye also. Ye also. Well, what's he referring to? Who are the ones that he's comparing us to? That he's comparing these saints to? He says, don't be like them. Beware lest ye also. So who is he referring to? Well, it goes back to the previous verses when it's the ones that Peter said that are unlearned and unstable. Verse number 16, the end of the verse. Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. They twist the scriptures. They rest the scriptures. And it's those that are unlearned and unstable, they're going to mess up the scriptures. Well, don't be like them, he's saying. And so what does that say to us as believers? There's a temptation. We are culpable. It's possible for us to, we're vulnerable is what word I was looking for. We're vulnerable. It's possible for us to be misled. And it's not all that difficult for us to be misled if we're not strong and stable and steadfast in the things that we already know. The things that we're assured of, the things that are so fundamentally true, it's important that we not be led away from those fundamental truths by whatever someone might teach about some complicated passage. Being careful that we don't get completely sidetracked as these do, as he says here, those that are unlearned. There's some things in Paul's writings and in our writings that Peter is saying that are hard to be understood. And those things, those are the areas that the false teacher preys on. Those are the areas that they use those areas as fodder for their for sometimes misleading us. And whether or not they know it, whether or not they see it themselves personally, the devil is in control of a lot of things. And the devil is able to cause us to think, yea, hath God said. Did God really say that? The devil is capable of causing us, giving us something else, a new interpretation of what a passage of Scripture says that defeats many Scriptures that are fundamentally understood that we already know. So we need to be careful and understand that this is going on today. It's going on in Peter's, it was going on in Peter's day with the saints of God that were there. And I'd say it's going on today very clearly. Now, they rest the Scriptures. What are the Scriptures? A reminder. What are the Scriptures? Well, where the Scriptures are designed to be preached. Paul told Timothy, preach the Word. The Word of God is designed to be preached. It's designed to be studied. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Scriptures are designed to be studied. They're designed to be searched. Jesus said to the Jews, search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. He says the Scriptures are designed to be searched out, to be searched. And they are inspired by God. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then it is profitable. For why? For determination of the truth when it's compared. The Scripture is to be compared. Another word, another passage says that we're to compare spiritual things with spiritual. We're comparing Scriptures. We're looking at this passage as it relates to this passage and saying, you know what? There's one author, and I got to compare these. And I got to say, if this is a fundamental truth that all the Scriptures teach, then I'm not going to take another passage, a passage that's more obscure and more difficult to understand, and override all the Scriptures by that one Scripture. I can't do that. Even though it might sound like it's what it's saying. It's not what it's saying if it overrides what is clearly said elsewhere. And so we compare. We know there's one author of this book. And so he said, hey, the Scriptures are to be, they're to be compared. And they're not to be merely, we're not to be merely hearers of the word. As James said. James says, hey, don't just be a hearer of the word. The word of God is to be lived as well. It isn't just to be something that's taken in as something that we, you know, that gives us a better knowledge than somebody else. The Scriptures are designed to be lived. We're to be doers of the word and not hearers only, as James says. So it is a practical, the word of God is practical for good to us. And we find that the word of God says in verse number 17 that ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware lest ye also, we just read that, not like those that are led astray easily. He says that ye also be led away with the error of the wicked, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall. From your own steadfastness. Fall. What does he mean, fall? Some people key on the word fall all the time in the Scripture, and they immediately think that that means you can lose your salvation. And he isn't saying that here. He says that you fall how? From your own steadfastness. From your own steadfastness. In other words, that not falling from grace, not falling from salvation, but falling from your stability, falling from that state of stability where that you become weaker, where that you become more vulnerable. He wants to warn the believer. The word of God here is warning the believer not to be falling, not to be becoming weaker, becoming a little bit too nonchalant and too easy about things and not taking care about watchfulness, about looking at what is said, whether it's said on the internet, on Facebook, on some of the social media, or whether it's said in a newspaper, or whether it's said in a book, or whether it's said on TV on the news, or whether it's however it is, that there are claims about God and claims about the scriptures and claims about what is right and wrong as it's defined from the Word of God. Be careful that you don't fall from your steadfastness, from your own steadfastness. However strong that you might be, you have fundamental truth learned and it's known that you have that comes through the gospel. The very grace of God that brings salvation teaches us some things. Paul says to Titus chapter 2. And I'm going to read that. I didn't write that down. But in Titus chapter 2, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus chapter 2, he says there in verses 10, read verses 10 to 15, chapter 2. Of Titus in verse 10. He says, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine. Well, we want people to do the right things, and as they're living their life, as workers in a place, as wherever it is or however it is that we are making our living or whatever our normal occupation is day to day, not purloining, not putting off, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God, verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Now, how many of us have experienced the grace of God that brings salvation? That's everybody that's saved. Everybody that knows the Lord truly has experienced the grace of God that brings salvation. What happened and what did you learn whenever you came to know the Lord? You learned some fundamental truth. You learned gospel truth. You learned the truth about Christ. You learned the truth about who he is. And you learned the truth about his sacrifice on the cross and what it meant for you. You learned the truth that God sent his only begotten son. You learned the truth that here's God manifest in the flesh, coming down, and he died for our sins that we'd be right with him. And you learn the truth that salvation is through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. You learn the truth. So the grace of God that brings salvation teaches us a lot of things. And the scripture says here, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, all of us that are saved, teaching us. So there's no exception to this. And no matter how weak you are as a believer, how strong you are as a believer, you definitely have this. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we know sin is wrong and we're going to avoid it. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly. He wants us to live for him in this present world. Looking for, here's another part that comes, is that he's coming back for us. This one that died for us is going to return for us. He says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Paul says, every one of us as believers has a fundamental background of the scriptures. We have a fundamental understanding of the scriptures. Don't let anything cloud that. Don't let anything override that. What we have is that fundamental gospel understanding of the scriptures. Don't fall from your own steadfastness, your stability, your peaceful confidence that you ought to have. And Peter talked about peace a couple weeks ago. We ought to have a peace. There's a certain kind of a peace that we as believers are to have. But how? How is it maintained? Well, how is it that we can fall away, can fall, as the scriptures talk, fall from our own steadfastness, become weaker and not as strong as we should be? Well, it comes being led away with the error of the wicked, he says in verse number 17. Being led away. Is something leading you away? Is something attempting to lead you away from the fundamental truth of God's word? Is something attempting to lead you away from the truth that Christ Jesus is coming back and there's going to be a resurrection of all the dead and we're going to rise to be with the Lord Jesus? And is something fun taking you away from the fundamental truths of God's word? That, and so be careful, because the devil's still at work and his angels are still at work and the world is still at work against you, and the flesh, your own flesh, your own sinful flesh, is contradicts you and wants to yield to the things of the world and wants to yield to the things of the devil at times. Well, in whatever manner, whether being deceived by a false teacher or disoriented by a skeptic or a scoffer, we can be led away with the error of the wicked. And so Peter is saying here, beware, beware, lest you be led away with the error of the wicked. Beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness. So beware that you don't let outside influences, don't let the influences of so-called Christian teachers or scoffers or anything else take you away from the fundamental principles that you already know, that you know because it's the very gospel truth that saved you. And then verse number 18, the second point here is, we looked at the warning, but there's the work here as well. There's a certain kind of a positive aspect to the conclusion of Peter's letters. The conclusion of Peter's letters is one part of it is to be guarded against. The other part is to grow. It is to grow in grace, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. You know, sometimes we say that you can't change anybody. You can't change a person. And there's truth to that. And when we say it, there's truth to it. There's truth that I can't change somebody. Can't change somebody's perspective on things. I can't change somebody's fundamental way that they live their life. I can't do it. That's why we pray. That's part of the reason why we pray. It's because we can't do it. But the fact of the matter is God can. And as believers, we as God's people, we can, sometimes we as believers, we look at ourselves and we say, you know what? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, but I can't do much of anything else. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Beside me, you get away from me and trusting in me and taking in my nutrients as a branch, then you're not going to be able to do anything. And we won't be able to produce fruit. We won't be able to do that the Lord would have us to do as a child of God. And so he's saying to us here, he's giving us this warning to say to us that growth is an often forsaken part of the Christian life, and that we are prone to relax in this initiative. We're prone to relax a little too much. And yet the Word of God reminds us over and over again about the importance of going further, of growing. It reminds us over and over again. Colossians, you don't have to turn these places. I'm going to read them to you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Says something, doesn't it? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You got to have enough wisdom to answer someone. You got to have enough wisdom to, and you got to have grace in your heart. And it has to be seasoned with salt. You don't want to become an offense to someone else. It requires some growth. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. How I serve the Lord is going to depend upon my strength, my stability, and grace. in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 9, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it's a good thing that the heart be established or strengthened with grace. And he's saying, hey, we need the grace of God all the time. And God, one of the means of God's grace is clearly the Word of God. It's the Holy Scriptures, that we not be carried about with strange doctrines. In James chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. Don't be proud. We want to grow in grace. But he giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But he talks about the need for strength and submission to God, growing. How submitted are we to God? In some ways, we are, but in other ways, we aren't. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10 said, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, remember, 1 Peter was about suffering, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, mature, establish, strengthen, settle you. What's God's purpose in our life? One of the parts of the purpose is growing, is spiritually growing, spiritually getting stronger, getting stable. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, and chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, what did we find there? The fruit of the Spirit. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Do you love like you ought to love? Joy. Do you rejoice like you ought to rejoice? Peace. Are you content like you ought to be content and at peace and confident like you ought to be? Long-suffering. Waiting. Gentleness. Are we as gentle as we ought to be? Goodness. Are we as good as we ought to be? Faith. Do we believe? Do we trust as we ought to trust? Meekness. Are we meek? Are we lowly? Temperance, he says. And he says, and let us not be weary. In chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 of Galatians, Paul says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. If we faint not, as we have therefore opportunity, let's do good to all men, especially unto those that are out of the household of faith. What's he saying? He's saying there that we as believers, we can grow. There's some areas where we need to grow. We need the grace of God to grow, and we need that to grow in his grace, as the scripture is saying. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 7, that in the ages to come, we think out in the future, what is my life going to be like way out into the future? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I'm going to be growing forever. I'm going to be growing in my understanding. You say, well, yeah, but there's not going to be any sin there, so aren't you going to know everything? No. There might not be any sin there, but I'm not going to know everything yet. I'm not going to be like God. I'm not going to be as God. That was a lie of the devil. He told Eve, you know, you'll be as gods. He knows that if you eat of the tree of the fruit of the garden, that you'll be like God. Well, that's a lie. Nobody's ever going to be like God. No one's going to be to the extent God is in wisdom and understanding. No one's going to be infinite, but God is going to bless us, and we're going to have a sinless life where we're going to be rejoicing in him, and we're going to be understanding so much better what he's done, and we'll be growing for all the ages to come. What he has done is so profound that it'll take perfect Christians all the ages to come to never fully understand it, to never fully come to the fullest grips with it, with what the Lord has done for us. And so don't discount it in any way, but grow in this grace, as he's saying here. Grow in grace. Those spiritual gifts and distinguishing ways that make us what the Lord wants us to be for the sake of others. To grow in grace, that we would be like our Savior more. That be more like Jesus. That's what the fruit of the Spirit's all about, is being like the Lord Jesus. It's being more like him. It's conforming more to his ways as a child of God. And so Peter is saying, hey, you got a negative. There's this negative aspect to guard against, but then there's this other aspect that is grow, to grow. And he says grow in the knowledge, not only grow in grace, but he says, and so here's another part of this growth. Growing in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, displaying God's grace in our life, being a representative of God and what His grace is all about in our lives. But then secondly, growing in our knowledge of the Lord. Because he says, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, know Christ more. You have not known Him well enough yet. None of us have. Know Christ more. Make an effort this holiday season even to know Christ more, to know more of Him, to know more about the Lord Jesus, to know more about this one that came into this world and was made flesh for us, that He might die, that He might suffer for us. Know Him more. Who is He? You know the old saying, who, how, why, what, when, where? Who, how, why, what, when, where? Who, how, why, what, when, where? Take Jesus. Take what He's done and everything about Him and say, who is He? How did He do what He's done? How is this what it is? What? What is it? When? Get the timetable down. When? Where? Why? Where did He go? Where is He now? Where has He been? And where is He going to be? And why? Why is it all? Why is it that the Lord has done all that He has done? Why is it that that Christ Jesus is what He is? Why did He come to Bethlehem? Why is all of this? And so take the time to know Christ more. Also make an effort to worship Him more, to love and adore Him. He says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He says, to Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. We're going to glorify Him forever. But how about now? Are we glorifying Him now? We make an effort to worship Him more, to love Him more, to adore Him more, to honor and obey Him more, to praise and thank Him more. Because He is God, for one thing. To Him be glory both now and forever. Who? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's God. He's the one that's to be worshipped. He's the one that's to receive all glory both now and forever. Beside me, He says, don't take My glory away from Me. In the Old Testament, God, Jehovah, said, don't take away any glory that belongs to Me. Well, it belongs to God only. Well, it belongs to Jesus Christ because He is God. But glory, He says, praise Him, thank Him, because He's God. To Him, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, be glory both now and forever. Now and forever. And then, as Peter ended both his letters, he says, amen. It's almost as though, and I think we get it right, when we think about these letters, these epistles, in a sense of being prayers, there's a sense in which they kind of are prayers. They are the request. They're a request that says, here's what God's will is. And then he ends it all with, so let it be. Amen. Let it be real. Let that be. Let this be what happens in your life. He says, grow. He says, beware and grow. Last two things he says in this letter, beware and grow. Amen. Let it be. Let this be the reality. God, Lord, let it be. Lord, even so, John says in the book of Revelation, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So let it be. Peter ends his letter here. Well, the end of this letter is one that says, here's how to do what he's talked about as a problem in this letter that these saints of God were facing. These saints of God were facing a problem of a whole lot of false teachers, a whole lot of scoffers that were affecting them detrimentally, that were affecting their peace, their joy, their love, that were affecting them as Christians. And here's what you do about it. Here's the action items. And the action items coming from this chapter and coming from this letter of epistle, of this epistle of Peter, is to beware and to grow, but grow as a child of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us. Thank you for the opportunity to look into your word today. And we think upon this letter today that Peter wrote so long ago that just seems, as we think upon the people that were affected and the folks and how they were living their life and how that they had difficulties and trials and they were so prone to have fallen from their steadfastness and not being what they ought to be and having a need for growing more, Lord, we see ourselves in this generation as being exactly that way. And we just pray that you might give us the grace, the strength to grow. Lord, we know you alone can change us. We know you can change others as well. And we just look to you and we pray to you that you might give to us a stronger understanding of you. Give to us as your people a desire to please you and to worship you as we ought to. And give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it all. It's in Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.